Welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday. Our order of service is from Divine Service Setting 3 in your hymnal, page 184. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has bestowed them and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Palm Sunday is from the prophet Zechariah, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow, I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword. This is the word of the Lord. The gradual is Psalm 118, beginning at the 19th verse. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle reading is from Philippians, the second chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowds that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he raised Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On Palm Sunday, the Christian Church begins its most sacred and holiest week of the year. This is not simply an arbitrary observation that the Church has adopted over time. No, in fact, it was established by the gospel writers themselves strictly by looking at the disproportionate amount of attention that each one of the gospels devotes to this one week in the life of our Lord. So, out of curiosity, I did the math. Matthew, Mark, and Luke devote from 23 to 30% of their Gospels to this 1 week in our Lord's life. John devotes a whopping 43% of his Gospel just to this 1 week of Jesus' life. That's almost half of his Gospel. No wonder then that as the church reads the Gospels, its attention becomes so focused on this 1 week in the life of its Lord that it observes this week as the sacred and holy week that it is. So here's the plan for our observance of Holy Week in this year of 2020 during this very strange time of quarantine. Each day during the week, we'll prepare an audio Bible study that will review the events of that day as given us by the four gospel writers. For instance, on Monday, we'll consider the events that the Gospels tell us happened on Monday of Holy Week, on Tuesday of Holy Week, and so forth. Today, let's consider the events of Palm Sunday. John writes, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem." By beginning with the words, "the next day," John wants to connect the events of Palm Sunday to the events that happened on the previous day. John writes, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus, therefore, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. John informs us that when the large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. It's pretty interesting, really, that John says the crowd, the large crowd, and not simply a large crowd. The definite article here alerts us that this is a particular crowd of Jews. As we'll hear in just a minute, this is the crowd that was present at the tomb when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This is the crowd that will follow Jesus out of Bethany to Jerusalem. They'll meet another crowd coming in the opposite direction here in just a moment. Now, the next day. That is, the next day after the previous day, which John carefully notes was 6 days before the Passover. That puts this next day at Sunday, the 10th of Nisan, according to the Hebrew calendar. That is a very special day for Israel. The 10th of Nisan was the day that Moses had long ago instructed Israel to choose the lamb that it would sacrifice for the Passover feast. It had to be male, young, and without blemish. For all of the Seder meals that Israel had celebrated by choosing a lamb, killing it, then eating it, this one would be different. This one would be the one that all of those other Passovers pointed to. John skips all of the backstory that Matthew, Mark, and Luke include about Jesus sending off his two disciples into the nearby town to fetch a donkey and its colt. A donkey and its colt. That's two donkeys. The mother and its colt. John shifts our attention from Bethany to Jerusalem, where he notes the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. People had come from all over the world to celebrate the Passover in the holy city at the temple. The celebration of the Passover in Jerusalem was a festive and happy week with lots of worship and elaborate rituals to mark the special holiday. A standard part of Israel's Passover worship was the singing of Psalm 118, just as we just heard it, especially verses 25 and 26. Save us, we pray, O Lord, O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's important to know that that word save us in the Hebrew is Hosanna. By the time of Jesus, an additional ritual had been added whereby the priests would sing this psalm while walking around the altar and waving palm branches. And the people would all join in wherever they were, waving their branches. By the time of Jesus, the palm tree had become a mark of national identity, somewhat like the eagle is for us. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, adding, even the King of Israel. They are moving their worship at the temple to the new temple, who is Jesus. But as they do, they add this bit of pent-up nationalistic hope that goes all the way back to David, even the King of Israel. How hungry they were to have a king to rule over them instead of Caesar. How hungry they were to see the glory of Israel return like it was under David. To get the whole picture of what happens next, we've got to see two separate crowds converging together. John writes, the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead. That's the crowd that was accompanying the Lord from Bethany to Jerusalem. John tells us that this crowd continued to bear witness. They never stopped talking about what they had seen. And their reports had filtered throughout the city of Jerusalem so that many who were there heard the news. This is the crowd that is going out from Jerusalem to Bethany to see both Jesus and Lazarus. John writes, the reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard what he had done, that he had done this sign. The buzz of excitement among those who were in Jerusalem must have been electric. So much so that the Pharisees are utterly exasperated in their attempts to discourage the people from getting too caught up in this Jesus. As they watch these crowds going out to see Jesus in all their excitement for him, the Pharisees say to one another, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. The crowd accompanying him from Bethany and the crowd coming out of Jerusalem converge at the Mount of Olives. And there they all join together in their joyous song of praise, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. It is at this point that Jesus employs those two donkeys that he had sent his disciples ahead to fetch. It's clearly the colt that Jesus intends to ride. The mother is probably brought along just because the colt would never have come along without its mother. John writes, and Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. This is odd. Our Lord has made this 2-mile journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem countless times. Never do we hear that he required an animal of any kind to ride. Why now? John writes, just as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. The reference here is to the prophet Isaiah, who had seen the day when God's people would welcome their coming king with shouts of joy. By riding the colt, the foal of a donkey, Jesus wants to make it clear that he is the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. He is the king who will deliver his people from every enemy and establish his kingdom of perfect and everlasting peace. St. Luke makes mention that Jesus had told his disciples to go into a village where they would find a colt tied, and then he adds, on which no one has ever sat. In several places in the Old Testament, the command is given that animals that are to be selected for sacred purposes cannot have been previously used. They could not have been ridden or used with a yoke. In addition to that, the cart that carried the Ark of the Covenant, where God himself was located between the two cherubim over the mercy seat, that cart had to be a new cart, that is, one that had never been used before. This colt that had never been ridden was now being used for the most sacred mission that any donkey would ever have. On this day, this most blessed of all donkeys in the history of the world would be the unused cart that would carry the true Ark of the Covenant. John ends his account of Palm Sunday right there. But he warns us not to get too caught up in the euphoria of all of this by telling us that his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that he had been done to him. So if the disciples of Jesus didn't understand these things at the time, then certainly the crowds that are praising him and acclaiming him to be their king, they don't understand either. A year before this, Jesus had fed the 5,000, and these crowds had tried to make him king, but he withdrew to the mountain by himself. Now, however, the time had fully come. In their enthusiasm, the crowds acclaim him to be even the king of Israel, completely ignorant that this would be the very charge that would be used against him and that would have him crucified by the end of the week. Seeing all of this just as clearly as he saw it before the creation of the world, Jesus does not react as we would have expected. Luke writes, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes." What a contrast. The crowds rejoice, while the one that they rejoice over weeps. He has come to be their king, all right. But his rule will not be like any other king. He will rule the world in meekness and lowliness. He who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. None of this did these crowds understand. When he finally arrives in the city, it's already late in the day. St. Mark writes, "And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Tomorrow, he will return and do some house cleaning." This is Palm Sunday. For all that the disciples and the crowds did not understand about what took place on this day, first and foremost was that they had chosen their lamb for the Passover sacrifice. He is male, young, and without blemish. On the 14th day of Nisan, they would sacrifice this lamb. and as his blood will mark the beam and the lintel of the cross, so God will do his greatest work ever, delivering them and us from sin, death, and the devil, and bringing them and us into his kingdom of righteousness, life, and his presence once and for all. Amen. We stand for prayer. Our prayers today follow a format in which each petition is first introduced, then it's offered, and our response to each petition is Amen. Let us pray for the Church, that the Lord would defend her against all her enemies and keep her true to Jesus Christ by the power of his word and spirit. Gracious Lord, keep your scattered church in your mercy, that she may endure the assaults of the evil one and remain faithful for the sake of those numbered within your kingdom and those who have not yet heard the gospel and been brought to faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for all pastors, for all church work vocations, and for all the baptized in their vocation as God's people. Almighty God, by your Spirit you have gathered us as your church and promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in our midst. We pray that you would not allow stress or disaster to distract us from the particular vocations into which you have called us to serve in the church, in our homes, and in our communities. Grant to us every gift and blessing that is needed, that we may honor our calling and serve you to the best of our ability through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray for the government, for all in authority over us, and for our own lives as citizens and neighbors. Almighty Lord, you have established the kingdom of the left and hold accountable all those who govern in this and every place. Guide our president, the members of Congress, the governor of this state, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would serve nobly and wisely, pursuing the path of justice and protecting the citizens entrusted to them. Give them the wisdom and strength needed to bring our world out of crises and back to stability. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for an end to violence and terror, for those who are imprisoned, for the troubled in mind, and for those who suffer any afflictions of the body. Merciful Lord, your grace is sufficient for all our needs, and you have promised to be the strength of the weary, the hope of those who fear, the healing of the ill, the fullness of those disabled, and the peace of all who are distressed. Hear us on behalf of our nation and the world that is suffering this pandemic and isolation. We pray for all whom we name in our hearts, that they may be well supplied by your grace in every time of trouble. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for those not yet of the kingdom, that God would make us bold to speak the faith to them, and that hearing, they might believe. Everlasting Father, it is your will that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of your Son by faith. Give to your word success and deliver from error all those who live in darkness and fear, that they may walk in the light of the Lord Jesus and have confidence for the trials of this world and hope for the world to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray for the earth to be fruitful and for our good use of all the fruits of the earth. Blessed Lord, you give food to the hungry and provide for all our needs in this mortal life. Grant to us a grateful heart and knowledge to use wisely and well all that you have entrusted to our care. Bless those who work to make, prepare, deliver, or serve our daily bread, and give relief to those whose work has been halted. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, grant all these things and whatever else you know that we need, according to your love and gracious will, that we may rest secure in your care for us. For you live and reign with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray as our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.